What's going on, everybody? It's be your boy
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And I got a very special guest on the show today. I got my boy Mid Official. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, my man. I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? Like, God is good. How you doing?
Same here, man. You know, just grinding and, you know, taking one day at a time, you know, especially with this, you know, parent life and being a husband and everything, just trying to balance everything.
I can dig it. Well, I appreciate you reaching out and giving me an opportunity to be on your podcast.
No problem. I appreciate you taking out your time. You know, I know as an artist, you know, you have a lot of stuff to do. You know, you got to record and got studio time and you got to do this and do that. So, you know, I appreciate you even more to, you know, just, you know, have, you know, sacrifice some time just to come on the show.
Okay, for sure, bro. Anything to help?
Of course. So, before we start the podcast officially and begin the questions, introduce yourself to the listeners.
All right, well, go by Mid Official, born and raised Denver, Colorado. I've been in the game for about 20 years now, started out battling. I've been going hard this time for about 2 years now. Like, my music career is, it's been kind of sporadic at times where, like, I'll do it, like, I'll be serious and pursue it for like a project or a couple of projects, and then something will happen where I have to take a step back. So, yeah, so I got the music itch again in June of 2020, and then I've been going hard ever since.
So you say you started rap better than before you started actually doing, like, writing music and stuff.
Yeah, I started battling in high school. Like, I was always, I had like a, you know, like a love for music, but I didn't even know it was rap at the time because I kind of considered myself a DJ first. But, and you know, in school, you know how, you know, you get the, Jones and clowning, whatever term you use, wherever you're from. And I was just always quick. Mm-hmm. I was just always quick with it. And then I just started incorporating that, like, in my rhymes one day. And, you know, when you grow up in the city, you know, like at a huge high school, you're going to run into a lot of rappers. And, you know, so, yeah, it was like competition, like, every other day for sure.
Yeah, man, I already know about that.
yeah, I mean, but what about you, though? How'd you get your start?
Well, I mean, as a DJ, I started when I was, 14 or 15 years old. And I just pretty much, you know, started from there. I started noticing, you know, a lot of my homeboys, they wanted to, you know, record music. And, you know, in that era, I want to say like the mid-2000s, that's when mixtapes was at this peak. So a lot of people wanted to do mixtapes and stuff. You know, of course, they didn't have like the, not the necessarily funds, but it wasn't how it is nowadays where you could literally record from a computer and you could actually come out with an actual album or EP. So what they did, you know, they had an uncle or, you know, a homeboy with a studio. Did a quick, you know, 8 to 10 tracks, maybe 15 tracks. And they sent me the tracks and I just, you know, hosted. So I was doing that. Then I started doing a few parties and stuff, of course, with like family and other people. DJ had a couple strip clubs and whatnot. And then I actually had to take a break because I was going to school for my undergrad. And it was a lot on my plate. So I took like a 2 year break. Then by the time I came back, everything changed. You know, in music, you know, everything in music moves so fast. Like 2 years is like 10 years in music. So everything changed, and you know, I was at a point where I'm like, I want to DJ again, but I don't know where to start off at. So me and my homegirl Valona, shout out to her, she's from Jersey. We met on either SoundCloud or Twitter. It was one of them things. And we came out with a new era mixtape. I think we got like 5 or 6 volumes out right now. So we did that, but I still kind of like, I still have love for the music, but I was like, you know, I was kind of lost. So I was like, let me start a podcast. And pretty much, you know, I just interviewed people who I worked with, of course, you know, when I was a DJ, when I was DJing full time. And then, you know, eventually I just started, you know, reaching out to people, you know, Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, I've been doing this for about 4 to 5 years now. And I had to take another break. I had no choice though, because my daughter, she was a newborn at the time, and then I was, you know, helping with my granddad and whatnot. But right now, I've been grinding the last couple months and stuff, and I'm here right now, you know, so.
Well, yeah, bro. Well, congrats on your success. You know, it definitely sounds like you put in your time and your work, which you definitely got to get out here and do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, even in this age, I still like to get out and, you know, how I promote my music. Like, I hand out business cards. Like, if I have a video out, I will hand out a business card and it has like a QR code where you can go access it directly on my YouTube, or it'll have like my Spotify, my Tidal, or all my streaming services on there where they could reach me as well. And I feel like it's better, although it's a little slower process, I feel like it's better because it's more personable, and it means more to your fans for you to, you know, hand them something tangible where they could blow. You know, well, I remember before he blew up, I saw him at that gas station in Texas or whatever. He was on his way to a show and I feel like that's how you get your real, real fan base that ride with you, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it's supposed to. So how was the trans? Well, first of all, let's talk about you. Like, was you battle rapping like professionally? Like, you went to different events or whatnot?
Nah, bro. So this was this was 2000. This was, I see, I got out of school in 2004. So this was in that period. Battle rap was, it had a little bit of name for itself back then.
Yeah, I remember Fight Club and all that used to come on MTV.
Right. But it was nowhere near where it's at today, for like, you know, like URL, RBE.
Yeah, pay-per-views and stuff now.
Yeah, like, because I follow battle rap still to this day. And, but no, man, like this, but making the transition. I don't know, like, I honestly could look at, like, my catalog's deep. Like, whatever, like, what's out right now on Spotify, it doesn't really tell my whole story because I have 2 full projects, like, that's on, like, AudioMac and Hip. So, like, I feel like I've always been to make songs easy. So, the transition, I feel like it was smooth, but I didn't know what I was doing at first. Like, I didn't know how to record myself. Like, my homeboy had to come bring Magix over. That's the first thing I had was Magix. You know, like, in my grandma's house, like, on the old desktop. And, you know, he taught me how to record it. And after that, it was just on, bro. Like, I just, like I really come up with songs with ease. And, like, I'm not trying to sound cocky or nothing, but, like,
Right. Like
I'm blessed, bro. Like, God really gave me this gift, you know what I'm saying? And I stand on that 100%. So yeah, I mean, so like, it's easy, bro, for real.
Nah, cause you know, one thing I learned about battle rappers, you know, transitioning to, you know, like I don't wanna say, I guess as actual, like, I can't even say that because I ain't trying to disrespect y'all, because y'all craft is very, like, I appreciate y'all craft, but it's like the transition from battle rap to, you know, you know, as a rap artist, you know, I know it's hard and it's difficult at times because, you know, when y'all battle rap, y'all saying stuff from the top of y'all dome, and it's like it just go out, you know, it's just y'all just say it. But then I know when you transitioning from that to you know, to putting it on the actual song, because I heard a couple of your songs, and I can hear some of the battle rap, but it's like it got like a flow with it. You know what I'm saying? So I know it's like I know sometimes it could be difficult coming from that to, you know, actually having a beat and, you know, sitting down and writing, and you got to come up with a hook and everything. Like, everything is much more structured versus, you know, in the battle rap field, you know, so I respect that.
Okay, so I think I understand your question a little bit more now, mm-hmm. as far as transition. Okay, so I used to be like a lot more bar and metaphor heavy than I am now. Like, if you listen to my music, you still hear like little punch lines and, you know, slick shit here and there. Mm-hmm. But I used to be like so heavy, like almost like every bar, you know. And I believe somebody, like, I want to say, and I can't remember who it was because it was so long ago, somebody said, like, it sounds like you battle rapping on every track. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what you just said, like, that resonates, like, it took me back, and that's what I'm like, all right, okay, I understand the question more. So in that aspect, when I, like I told you, like, I took different breaks in my music career. Mm-hmm. So, and, like, actually, like, I have, like, I've went by three different stage names in my music career, you know what I'm saying, coming up to this. Mm-hmm. But each time, like you said, rap is, you know, 2 years seems like a decade. So each time I would come back, it was different.
Right.
So back then, I really wasn't organized like I am now. Like, I had choruses, you know, but my content, it was just like, fuck you if you rap. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a destroy you. Because I feel like that's what rap used to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, Iron Fist and see, like, the Rakim, the Big Daddy Kane. Like
rap. Cubes, yeah,
like, rap used to be about not what you said, because if you could rap, you could say something. It's how you say it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people took craft and they rhymed. And like, I'm the best rapper out here. Like, bro, like, that's how I felt. And so, like, I was, like, literally, like, this bars, 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 bars. Mm-hmm. And so, long story short, how I got to this, it's my homeboy, how I got to this style, how I'm now, where I'm a little bit more versatile and mixed, mm-hmm. my homeboy Will, like, my brother, shout out Will, my homeboy Will Ryan in Nebraska, like, he, we had this conversation one night, and he was like, bro, you got to put out music that people could feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me. And then, like, ever since then, I just been opening up and, like, you know, not just doing the bars and metaphors, but, like, talking about, you know, like, a little bit what I've been through, you know what I'm saying, like, my family life or, like, my relationship with God. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, so that transition, once I made that turn, it was easy for me to think of. Like I said, I've always been talented because it's a gift from God. But once I did turn that corner, it's been easy to keep it. You know what I'm saying? But at the time, I didn't know that I needed to turn that corner, if that makes sense, until my boy Will said something. You know what I'm saying?
No, it makes sense. Because we all need some type of healthy criticism, you know. Cause I get what you mean. It's like me as a DJ, when I first started DJing, people was telling me, "Oh, you need to do more transitions. You need to do more scratches and stuff." And you know, for me, I should let them know I'm not really a scratch DJ, but I try. You know, and I remember, shout out to DJ Illusion. I don't know if you remember, but I should go to the studio a lot. And he actually had the actual vinyls, the what they call that, the damn the CDJs, and now, like,
are you talking about the digital, like with the MP3s, or did you have like the 1200s?
I think it was the 1200s. That's what he had. He old school with it.
Got you.
With me, I had the Serato DJ, the DDJS, what they call them? They call them the DJ. I can't think right now, man. I've been doing podcasting so long. The DJ, like the DJ mixes and stuff. I'm talking about like the ones that the DJs used to have, back in the 70s and 80s and 90s and early 2000s. I was on those. That was my first time working on that. And just the feel of it, I'm like, damn, this is real DJing. Like, because my generation, I'm born 92, so my generation is more in between. We knew about carrying, a couple crates and stuff, well, CDs and stuff too, but we knew about carrying crates, but we also was introduced to the digital world, where it was at a point where we didn't have to have, a DJ controller. We just had our computer with the program, and we just played the music, and we just used the keyboard. That's what I used to use. I used the keyboard, the transition, and stuff like that. But when I was, my point is, I understand what you're coming from, because people used to tell me that, and it was like the older people. And I'm like, yeah, I do it, man. But, it's hard to transition, especially when you do something for like 10 years. But, sometimes it's good to get that advice from someone so you can elevate, your career.
Right. Definitely. And I like that you are from that era
mm-hmm.
where you have the crates. That's dope, because you got to really crawl before you walk, I feel like. And mm-hmm. like not just in learning your technique, but just like the history. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's more important. The DJ's history is more deeper than the rapper's history.
Right.
Because without DJs, there would be no rappers. And back in the day, you don't see that as much as you used to, but like you would really team up with a DJ back in the day,
right.
Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff, Rakim and Eric B, mm-hmm. And your other classic hip hop duos. And so that's cool that you were able to experience that and then transfer over into the digital era. So it's like it means more to you, versus then somebody would just that just coming in the game now just on the digital tip.
Yeah, because it's different, dog. Like it gave me more appreciation. Like, I remember when I was younger, my siblings, they was born in the 70s and 80s, so they had vinyls, they had cassettes and everything. So with me was, being born in 92, like it was different for me growing up, because I knew, how music was. Even though I wasn't around, I wasn't even thought of at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew how music was back in them days. Like, to actually have, see the cassette and the 8-track and all that, I'm like, man, what the hell is this? And then, as I got older, you got CDs, of course. You got USBs. You got the iPods. Now, mm-hmm. for me, I feel old because, I look at streaming and I'm like, damn, bro. Like, I remember when I was coming up, I remember the Get Rich or Die Trying CD. I remember the Trick Daddy, Thug Holiday CDs and stuff.
www.thug.com.
Yeah, man. Like, I used to I used to sneak in, like, when them albums came out, I used to sneak and read, like, the, you know, the brochures, the stuff that came with the album, or some of the albums had, like, the posters. And nowadays, it's like, you know, I just talked about this, like, the last few episodes, because I was interviewing other artists, and I was letting them know, like, I miss them days where you'll buy a CD, you open it up, you see who, you see the credits, you see who's the producer, because that was one of the first things I looked at, because when I was young, I always wanted to be a producer. And I see who produced, who wrote the song. Then you look at the artwork, and I should collect those artworks. And now just bro, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, bro, like, that's funny you said that. That's why I'm laughing, bro, because I used to do that shit too. Like, I used to like, because back in the day, like, these new kids, this new generation, they don't have that, that's the word I'm looking for. Their attention span we have. So, used to really, like you said, before, look forward to getting the CD. And the CD used to be long as fuck back then, like 18 tracks, 19 tracks. But you listen to it. You listen to the whole thing. And then you read, like, the song list. And then, like, because back then, like, I thought it was, like, cool, like, to know the artist's real name. And so that's why I would read credits and see who, like, wrote the song and stuff like that. And, yeah, bro, and artwork. Artwork was more important back in the day than it is now.
Yeah.
Because remember, like, the dopest artworks. Let me ask you this, and we'll see if we're on the same page. Who had the best artworks back in the, and there's two right answers.
You talking about, like, music overall, like rap, hip hop?
Like rap. Like, who had the best hip hop art?
To me, that's hard because I know one of them was Outkast. They always had dope artwork.
Go ahead. Give me your second one. It don't have to be something specific. Like, I'm not asking. I'm just like, who, like it could be like any, like it could be like anything. And I'll give you my answer.
I mean, yeah, because I mean, you gotta understand. Like, I grew up in the South, so I listen to all type of music. But I just go like,
Hey, bro, if you grew up in the South, then. You should.
I say Ludacris or Missy.
Okay, that's different, bro. Like that's different. Like I wasn't expecting to say that. Honestly,
who you was about to say? Because maybe I know who you probably gonna say, but I probably
Of course, Cash Money and fucking No Limit, bro.
Oh yeah. But you gotta understand.
They had the best artwork in the plastic cases with the little shiny. They had the best artwork back in, like, I feel like hands down, bro.
Yeah, like, because you also understand too. Like, when Cash Money, like early Cash Money, like I knew their music, of course, but I was like 8, 9 years old, so I wasn't really like. I never bought a Cash Money CD. My sisters and them had it. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't really, how you call it? Like, for me, I remember buying 50 Cent album. I remember buying the Ludacris Word of Mouth album. I remember, like I said, the Trick Daddy, Thug Holiday, and Up. So, like, but I remember... Damn, man, I forgot about Cash Money and No Limit. Damn. That's crazy. But I was so young at that time, so I was
young. Like, That's how it was for me too, bro. So like, I grew up. I rocked with Cash Money back in the day. And then a little, well, No Limit first, because No Limit was on before Cash Money, so I was fucking with No Limit. Like, I remember, like, I had that Silk the Shocker CD, May Man. I had the Mystical, the, that one with I Smell Smoke.
That's Unpredictable, I think. Hold on.
It was the one.
Hold on.
It was the one with the orange case.
See.
Mystical. It was the orange case. Orange case. And it had the I Smell Smoke and the, I can't remember.
Oh, Ghetto Fabulous, yeah.
Yes, Ghetto Fabulous. Ghetto Fabulous.
That came in 98.
Yep, so I had that CD, then I had the Master P, The Last Dawn. And so, you know, you had those artworks. And then when Cash Money started coming out, you would see, like, the Big Timers cover.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and they didn't shine like the No Limit, but they were, you could tell, like, they got, like, the idea, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, bro, and, but I'm with you, though, bro. I was still young, bro, like, man, I remember DMX dropped those two albums in 98, bro, and went platinum, bro. I had both of them joints.
Man, and you know what's crazy? Like, I didn't even know it, I mean, because I was young, but I didn't know them two albums dropped, because 98, I was six. But I remember listening to DMX, but later on, when I got older, probably like when I was in middle school, somebody... I think it was like an older cousin. They was like, oh, you know, DMX, I know one of them was what, what's the name of it? Hell is, it's Dark. It's Dark and Hell is Hot. And the other one was, what was the other one? Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. I didn't know them two albums dropped the same year until I got older. And I was just talking about DMX the last episode, how like DMX in that era, as far as like mainstream artists, was like the first artist to ever do that in that era. You know, because you know back in them days, an album could last you 3 to 4 years. So for him dropping them two albums back to back, he literally didn't have to drop any other album to like the next 5 to 6 years, you know, if he wanted to in that era. Cause you know, like you said, like our attention spans during that time. Cause even for me, you know, even in the 2000s, like I can listen to the same album for 2 to 3, 4 years with no problem. You know, so
yeah, you ran back. You like albums had good replay value back then. Mm-hmm. Now, one and done, like or. I like this. How I listen to an album nowadays, and especially because the music changed. Like I'll skim, I'll hear like the beat, and then I'll listen to it. Then if it's like it's very rare you have a song, you have an album back then where you couldn't skip, where you don't skip. Like you, back then, you would have an album where you didn't skip.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, like I just pick out, you know, a couple of songs. Often they like added to a playlist, like, and I feel like a lot of people do that because the less like albums back in the day, like we just mentioned, like the DMX's, who else was dropping? Like,
Missy was dropping, Busta was dropping,
Jay-Z,
Jay-Z.
He's so overrated. I think he was overrated, but he was still, you know, he was dropping quality albums where you put your heart and soul to. You don't just go in the booth and freestyle nowadays. Like a lot of these artists do punch and then like, they put their heart and soul to this. So, you know what I'm saying? Like the albums were really good where you would want to sit through it. You know what I'm saying? This new music, I'm not saying none of this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just got back listening to music. I had to take like a hiatus from music, like today's music, And it's kind of crazy because, you know, I've been feeling like this since I was like 25 years old. I'm like, damn, now I'm like an old head now because I'm 30 now.
Yeah.
But it's true though. Like, you know, one of my homeboys, they younger, they like in their, you know, early 20s. And now I tell them, like, you know, the difference between y'all era and my era was that, you know, artists didn't die like this or went to jail like this all the damn time. That's number one. Number two.
That's deep too.
And then number two, you know, that's name of artists right now, for example. Who was Chingy, right? Chingy probably had a couple albums to me that were, well, the first album was really a classic. The first album he dropped, that's a classic. I can listen to that all day. But
Chingy?
Yeah, I'm talking about Chingy, yes. I don't want to talk about the Jay-Z's, the Outkast, the Missy's, the Luda's, the T.I.'s.
That's cool, though, because
yeah.
That's cool, because maybe you about to put me on something that I'm not privy to, because
mm-hmm.
I didn't fuck with no Chingy albums, bro. Like, because back in the day,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, at the age I was, it's like, he was like your bubblegum rapper, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, but was his album legit?
Yeah, it was good. Like, that's why I brought him up, because, you know, we comparing majority of the artists. Now, there's some artists that's like, what's that boy name? Cordae. I like Cordae. Cordae I mess with a lot. Cordae is one of them. I don't know if you heard him before, but YB and Cordae, he one of them young artists that actually spits, and he has a message, you know. But I'm just want to compare Chingy to this era. If Chingy came out in this era of music, he'll be the GOAT just because of the music that he, you know, that he had at the time. So, like, my argument with them is that, you know, Chingy at the time, he was famous, but he wasn't, like, in people's top 10 and everything, because think about all the people that was out. You had people like Fat Joe, Missy, Jay-Z, DMX, Nas, Trick Daddy. You had Rick Ross was coming up. You had all these artists. You had The Game out the West Coast. So, like, you had all these artists that was, like, actually lyricists and had hits. Nowadays, you know, majority of the artists sound the same. And
tell me about it.
It's like, if you put, like, for example, all right, like Royce da 5'9" right now, right? Royce da 5'9" back in them days wasn't appreciated because, you know, he was considered more underground. But nowadays, I feel like he's more appreciated now because of the mainstream artist that's out right now. Like, that's what I'm trying to tell these boys. Like, it was a lot of heavy hitters back in them days. Like, 90% of these artists that's out right now, that's, like, coming out with all these, you know, like, same old tracks, they'll be shelved in 2005. 2006, you know, especially before then.
Oh yeah, nah, it wouldn't even have flew.
Yeah, and then, you know, if someone want to be like, oh, but what about Soulja Boy? First of all, when Soulja Boy came out, he wasn't talking about killing and gang and all this shit. He was dancing, because, you know, of course you have to have a few artists, you know, that was with that dancing and popping. I mean, look at the 90s. You had Uncle Luke and them. You had Criss Cross and all of them. So you have to have a couple, you know, artists that, you know, like MC Hammer, that had, like, songs that people could dance to. You know what I'm saying? Soulja Boy
right.
just took advantage of the internet. And people knew who Soulja Boy was at the time. Like, he was consistent at the time. You know?
Well, at least down south, though.
Yeah, that too.
So, like, he had down south on lock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with his fan base. And so, I was living in Kansas at the time, mm-hmm. bro. And I was in the library, public mm-hmm. library, you know, fucking around on MySpace and shit. And, bro, I can't even tell you. Right, but bro, I can't even tell you how I came across Soulja Boy, bro. Like, back then, like, I don't know, like, because it's crazy because promotion
mm-hmm.
wasn't the way it was back, like, how it is today. It wasn't like that back then because, like, nowadays, like, if you just talk about something
mm-hmm.
on your phone, like, you'll see an ad for it on your Facebook or whatever, like, you know, so... For me to run across Soulja Boy in that pretty much social media, like before your Twitters, your mm-hmm. Instagrams and your Facebooks, like I don't know how I ran across him, but I knew he was about to jump because of the type of music it was at the time. Like it was like fresh, new, mm-hmm. like he put a twist on it. And like I remember, yeah, bro, like, and it's crazy though, but I mean, yeah, he took advantage of it. He did what he was mm-hmm. supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? But now that shit won't go. But now that same shit,
mm-hmm.
we can reverse it. He would be shelved in this era. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel mm-hmm. like with the dance music now, the gang shit. I mean, that shit's always gonna fly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it's like you gotta think about it, dude. Like we know better. Like Ice Cube, Ice-T, The Game, you know, NWA, Dr. Dre, especially a lot of the West Coast artists back in them days. Of course, they always talked about gang life, but it wasn't because they were trying to push. It was because it was their story. That's how they grew up on. You know, half of these kids, you know, they came up on it later. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, for example, Kendrick Lamar, right? Kendrick mm-hmm. came out. Kendrick, he grew around it. He had family members that was in the gang stuff, but he wasn't necessarily in it. You know what I'm saying? He spoke about it in a different way. I just feel like it's no artist. I'm not gonna say no artist, but it could be a couple artists. But to me, like as far as like the overall like field. There's no artist that could be like, hey, let me get a different perspective from a person who probably was, you know, around the gang life, but never necessarily was banging. You feel what I'm saying? Or someone who, you know, they wasn't dope dealers or nothing like that, but they had an uncle or a brother or a mom or something like that that used to sell dope, and they wasn't a part of it, but they used to see it every day. Every time they come home from school and they'll see like all the weed and the cocaine on the table and stuff. Like we don't have that no more. It's too much of a copycat era.
Yeah, so what happened was, so this the thing, so like as far as like the gang stuff now and back mm-hmm. then, like you said, they was telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers creating this shit just so it could be cool, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like so yeah, and definitely, and you could tell in the like the realness of the music, like how mm-hmm. the music comes out, and how like I feel like you could tell when somebody's really rapping some shit that they believe in, or like they done been through, or they know, versus somebody creating some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just try to get a quick bag, and I tell people this all the time. You know, I'm with everybody to get money, but you gotta understand, like especially with music, it's still an art. You know, you're gonna have people that's gonna listen to you and they gonna tell like, man, like this he either telling lies or I just don't feel him. You know, it's
right.
He may have a couple hits that I can feel, but like for example, Wiz Khalifa, right? I ain't never smoked weed a day in my life to this day. But I listen to Wiz Khalifa all day because he put me in the he put me in the perspective of a weed, like a smoker. So while I'm listening to his music, I'm like, I feel kind of high. We don't have that experience no more, bro. Like it's too much the same shit. Like Big Time was back in the day. All them boys was talking about was getting females and cars. They was really talking about cars. If you listen to their music, like I'm like, man, I want to get a 96 Impala and hook that up, man. We don't got that no more,
bro. Like that's so crazy that you brought that up with the Wiz.
Yeah.
Because, bro, like, the way he vividly rapped, he made you really, like, believe it was the life he was living, which he showed that was life, you know. And then it was like, I don't know, bro. He made, like, although people have been smoking weed, he made, like, getting high, like, cool. You know what I'm saying? And, like, even listening, like, me listening to his music at the time, like, I'm like, well, shit, this fool's holiday. I must be holiday, too. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. But that's just, like, but he did his job as an artist, and that's why his fan base is what it is. You know what I'm saying? He created something from the bottom, and he made it cool. He made, you know what I'm saying? Like, remember, we used to be frowned upon, you know what I'm saying?
Way back, yep.
Yep, you know what I'm saying? And so yeah, but that's tight, bro, because I resonate with that so much. But, like, you know, just being what's the word? Like, meticulous, like, very descriptive, attentive, like, bro, it's hard to get those raps, you know what I'm saying? These days. It's
very hard, man.
Very hard.
So, tell us about growing up in Denver. Like, how's Denver? Because I hear different stories about Denver. But I think you're the first person from Denver that I actually interviewed, so... You know, tell us, like, how Denver is and how you grew up. You know, like, what was, like, the day-to-day things growing up in Denver, Colorado?
I grew up in a suburb in the northeast part of Denver called Montbello. Normal community. Back in the days where I was growing up, this is a predominantly black community.
Ain't Chauncey Billups from the up that way too, right?
Yeah, he went to George Washington High School.
Okay.
And actually, my high school and his high school are in the same school district. And we are, like, those schools played each other, you know? And, like, I never seen Chauncey play. He's way older than us, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, he went to George Washington. And it's funny because I actually was, like, as a kid, like, you know, George Washington out here is one of those schools where you can't miss it. Like, it's like, you know, when you see it, like, that's George, especially in the location, the part of the city it's on, it is when you see it. Like, even if you didn't, like, if you just saw it in the picture, you'd be like, okay, that's George. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, like, I always even wanted to go there as a kid or whatever. It just, like, it just never panned out. But yeah, but you right though, Chauncey, yep, he is from here. But yeah, bro, like, my community, me growing up, it was cool. My parents was a little strict. They tried to keep me out of, like, the mix. And as I grew older, you know, I started to get into more things, you know, selling weed, a little here and there, a little this mischievous shit.
Right.
But I mean, it was nothing too crazy. It was nothing too crazy, but I could say I stayed out the way a lot because of my upbringing. Like, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a two-parent household until my mom passed in 95. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, yeah, it was cool. But looking back now, And like knowing what I know now about like the 80s and 90s with the crack epidemic, it was definitely one of those communities that got hit by the crack epidemic. And so, you know, when you're a kid, you don't even know what crack is. And, you know, you don't know that, you know, unless you like was brought up in that environment, you know what I'm saying? But now looking back, and it was one of those areas, because my dad used to tell me, like, you know, the pizza man wouldn't want to come out the liver and shit and, you know, stuff like that. So it had like a bad, little bad reputation, but, me growing up, man, I mean, it was cool. I mean, you had your, it's the city. And what people don't know is, like, Denver, like, they gangbang a lot here. Like, they gangbang tough, heavy. Especially late 90s, late 2000s, gangbang tough. Mm-hmm. And so, you would have, like you said, you had your neighborhood tough kids, and, you know, they got into things. But, I mean, outside of little fights and stuff, like, nothing really popped out, but... We did have a couple of years towards my junior, senior, where things started returning, like, really violent. Like, we had somebody got shot in the park after school fight, and, you know, still a cold case to this day. Another, when I moved to Kansas, because I had left Denver because I had to get myself out of here at the time because I was going on the wrong path. Mm. And so I made the decision, like, if I don't remove myself, then I'm gonna be, you know, either locked up or, you know, even worse.
Right.
And, you know, moving to Kansas when I was still talking to the people I considered friends at the time, of course, you know. Hear stories, so and so got stabbed in the lunchroom, passed away at school. So and so got shot after school by the school at a memorial for somebody after a gang fight. So yeah, I mean, it was we had it. Now, gang bang as far as LA, nah, but Denver, yeah, I mean, they used to trip on colors a lot out here. And yeah, Denver, like, it's not just weed and mountains, you know what I'm saying? Straight up. It's not just, yeah, like, you know, so you better, like, you gotta carry yourself accordingly out here, you know what I'm saying? But and it's also just like, I'm sure there's everywhere else, like, if, you know, you get into what you get yourself into. You know, if you hang out with the nerds in the squares, you're gonna get into nerd and square shit. If you want to hang out with the dope boys, you can get into dope boy shit. You hang out with the gang niggas, you can get into gang shit. You know what I'm saying? It's you know, so.
Yeah, because I just, you know, wanted to ask that because I heard so many stories of Denver, how, you know, it's a beautiful city, but, you know, certain areas in the city is about that.
And oh, yeah, that, bro.
And I hear that
sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I hear that a lot, especially within, like, the, you know, the Midwest cities like Detroit, Denver, Milwaukee, Chicago, St. Louis, all the Midwest cities, like, and even towns in between. I hear that, like, it's very... You know, it's, you know, people bought that over there.
Yeah, bro, for real. But us having the weed legal here, like, it did change things around. You know what I'm saying? Like, put money in the communities that were in poverty or like the less wealthy. But it used to be sectioned off, like, as far as like the gang territories and stuff. So like, for instance, like, the east side, that's like all Crips, like Park Hill, all blood neighborhood. But now, like, those neighborhoods, they're not what they used to be. But like, and like where I grew up at Montbello, you have Bloods and Crips running around mixed, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, like, yeah, I mean, the gang politics, like the culture, like all that shit real. Then don't forget, bro, like, we're close to like New Mexico and like Cali, Arizona. Yeah. So we got a bunch of Hispanic, there's a huge Hispanic culture out here. And, you know, with that comes more drugs being flooded into community, Hispanic gangs popping up. So, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's a little bit of everything out here, bro, for real, though.
So talk to me about the weed legalization, because y'all was one of the first states to legalize weed. Like, how was that? You know, how was that when it actually happened? Was it good? Was it like 50-50? Because, you know, I heard a lot of people didn't want weed to be legalized because they felt like, you know, the government would control the money or control the weed, you know, especially for people who were selling it, you know, in the black market.
So, well, as I just took a hit of the weed I got from the store today, got a nice little ounce for $30 of some shake. But, bro, I wasn't really, I wasn't out here for the, when the first weed, when it got legal, I wasn't out here for it. So I don't know, like, really, like, how it was, like, just that first day when it's, like, legal, like, the store, like, so I missed all that. But I do know it was supposed to be where, you know, like, the schools and, like, recreational center programs, stuff like that, were supposed to get, like, the weed money.
Okay.
So, but also, it was a choice, too. Like, for example, like, my old school district, when we talked about, you know, George and Montbello, like, I actually got a job for that school district when I moved back out here. And one of my managers told me, like, Denver didn't, DPS didn't take the weed money. So it was like, I don't know why, when you got 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds selling weed in the schools now, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. But, you know, but I mean, it's different, you know, it's different vibe out here. Like, it's, you know, you go into, you literally go in, you go to the store, and it's just all there for you, bro. Like, it's just laid out, like, gummies, drinks, flour, like, joints already rolled. It tells you, like, how strong it is, what strands, sativa. Like, it's legit. As far as the tax on it,
yeah, I heard
you know,
crazy.
The government make, bro, it's not really that crazy. But honestly, I think the tax at the fucking Walmart or King Supers is more than the weed, because it's shit. That grocery store is, like, it's, you know, like, it's bad, but
yeah.
The weed, it's not that, it's not really that too crazy, you know, and as far as getting it off the street, nowadays, being on both ends where I've sold weed on the street and I've, you know what I'm saying, I've been to, I bought weed from dealers, of course, on the street before being able to go into the store. I prefer the store, bro.
Yeah, because everything organized and...
It's organized. You ain't got to do all this. Hey, bro, go to the alley, roll down the window, yell out, say this saying three times, then I'll be out with your dime set. You know, so you know how you have to do meet weed? Like, hey,
well, I ain't bro, go through that.
Yeah, but you know how it is. Yeah. But it's organized though now. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just go in and it's legit. Like, so I think it's better actually than going out the street. But it depends on if you one of these people out here hustling, like moving pounds, then you go to the street because you ain't get. There's rules. You only could get an ounce a day here, so you only could get an ounce a day, and that's and all the dispensaries they use the same thing. So like it'll show like how much you got you bought that day, even if it's been at a different dispensary. So,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
an ounce a day.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not an advocate smoker. I never smoked before. I tried like a gummy one time that my aunt gave me. It was crazy, but I'm not against recreational. I feel like I'm more, I like medical. I like, all right, this is me because I did this shit when I was in high school. I mean, in college. I had, it was very hard for me to find, you know, because we don't really do nothing to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, you know, doing crack, doing tobacco and stuff like that. Even though I tell people all the time, tobacco ain't tobacco because back in them old days, that's all them Indians used to smoke was tobacco, and they lived until they was like 100. But what I would tell people is that, you know, same thing with liquor, because I don't drink liquor.
I quit. I just quit. Like, I'm like, it'll be a year in July. So.
Yeah. I just feel like weed ain't for everybody, like, as far as, like, recreational, because it's like you have to... I don't know. Let me ask you this: Do you like you smoke every day, right?
Yeah, but I just started back though, bro. Like I quit for like 8 years, bro. Like I quit from 2012 to last year.
But that
like
but,
I've re-
but
go
but,
ahead.
But you could like smoke it and then you ain't got to smoke until whenever you feel like it, right?
Yeah, I smoke regular. Like I smoke when I want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't smoke for like.
Like just to do it, you smoke like for it's like me. I don't drink like that, but I drink a cold beer, and then I'll be good until like probably like I don't know a next fight come up or I just have that vibe. Like I don't drink every day or every week.
Oh, got you.
Yeah,
I know it's a different vibe. Not like I smoke all day, bro. Like when I'm at work, I don't smoke. When I get off, like it's on.
But that's my point, though. Like I feel like weed, like recreational weed, ain't for everybody because I know some people that would literally quit their job just to, you know, smoke it. And I'm like, bro, like, yes,
yeah,
like,
no, but bro, you can't blame the drug. That's the person, bro.
Yeah. Like, I'm never gonna blame the weed. It's the person. That's why I'm saying, like,
yeah.
Just like with liquor, not everybody should do that. Like, you should just know, like, hey, bro, like, I need to get away from this. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like with me, I think I'm more of an advocate when we got legal, I'm more of an advocate of medical marijuana because, like, when I took that gummy, I had a backache for like 3-4 days. I don't know why, but when I had that gummy, it was like a small piece too, cause I was scared. I ain't want to get too high, but the pain was gone the next day. So for me, it's like you know, like I'm more on the medical side than recreational. If you do it recreational, I ain't gonna judge you or whatever, but I am gonna pay attention to like how you are. Like I'm talking about people in general because
Yeah.
You got people like yourself, you go to work, after work, you know what I'm saying, you do what you do, you know, cause that's after work. Then you got people who work a 9-to-5 or whatever. Like they I don't know, man. It's crazy, dog. It's crazy, man.
Nah, I get it, bro. Like it's just like anything else, like bro, motherfuckers been tricked out their job over liquor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Motherfuckers been tricked off responsibilities on
gambling,
you know, anything
and stuff.
Like if yeah, exactly, bro. Yeah, exactly. So it's the person, but I feel but as far as the trees, you could gauge it, bro. So like so like that gummy you took is probably 10 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
So you could gauge, so you're like, all right, well, that made me feel good. Let me try 2. Now
right.
If 2 make you feel weird, you could be like, all right, well, I don't need 2. I just need to stick with 1.
Right.
And like with the trees, it lets you know like how much THC like is in the weed. So if you get you like a little 12-13%, like you're not gonna be that bad. Like you'll be able to handle it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So but for the medical I can't say for sure it works for something on me.
Right.
But I do know it works. I do believe that it works. And like knowing what I know now, I would have quit drinking a long time ago before I did and started smoking, you know what I'm saying? But like you said, it's not for everybody. You gotta it's in this proper moderation, like everything, you know what I'm saying? And with me, as far as like, and I don't know if you're gonna ask me this, this is the God-given talent I have with the music. So I can rap sober, drunk, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll think of lyrics, whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as God, you know, keeps blessing me with my brain working.
But that's a gift. That's a gift.
Yeah, that's a gift. That's a gift. Now, when I quit smoking weed and was trying to, like, create songs, my creative process was a little slower, but I still got the job done. Mm-hmm. Now, when I'm on trees, it's over, bro. Like, I might say some wild shit. But it's bars, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's bars. But I don't need it. I don't need it to make a good record. But I feel like it's better for y'all, the fans, because mm-hmm. I say some super dope shit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Nah, it just ain't nothing wrong. Man, like I tell people all the time, at the end of the day, be yourself. I just think that, you know, especially when you come back with the music, you know, especially nowadays, I just feel like everything is too damn forced. Like, whether it's smoking, drinking, sex, gang, gambling, doing scams and shit, I just feel like it's too forced on people, especially like the little kids. Now, back in the day, like I said, it was different. You know, you had people that was, you know, more telling their stories and stuff, even warning people. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
right, but we're just in a different age. Like, we're in the drug addict and drug user culture. Yeah. We're not in the drug seller and hustler. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
We're not in that, and so. Yeah, bro, like, everything's instant now, you know what I'm saying? Like, even the music, like, the music's forced. People's literally getting high, going into the studio, and saying whatever the fuck comes to their mind, and then putting it on a track, and then putting it out.
Right.
And as long as they got a hot beat behind it, it could sell. Like, me, I don't do that, bro. Like, I never, like, bro, I don't even write. I don't write lyrics at all, bro. Like, I do not pull out a pen and a paper and physically write them down. Like, I write in my head. Like, line for line, I just memorize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never dedicate, like, an hour of my day or 30 minutes to trying to create a song.
Mm-hmm.
I be doing regular shit. It hits me. Boom. And I don't force it, though. Like, if I can knock out a verse in, like, 5 minutes or that day, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't, I put it back. Like, I don't force my, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like with music, you shouldn't force. You should take your time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and that's another point too. Like, don't just, you know, see you. I'm glad you said that, because you don't just put out music to put out music.
My shit is planned out, bro. And like, and if you see, like I said, if you even see how I drop my shit, bro, it's strategic than that. You know what I'm saying? Once a month. Why? Because I don't want to give out, like, we're in the digital age where singles are gold. Mm-hmm. Singles literally are making people
$40,000 to $50,000
rich. Yeah. Singles, bro. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like this. I don't want to give out all my music at once, bro. Like, I want people to, like, listen to it and enjoy it. And so, and another thing is, people feel like the more music you put out these days, the more quality is. No, that should be trash. Just because you dropped 3 mixtapes this week, that don't mean they're fire. You know what I'm saying? Half the shit's garbage.
Yep. And that, so, and that's my thing. Like, when it comes to singles, though, I do agree that if you do at least once a month, it's different than dropping a whole project or an EP.
Because
we are in the era where singles are being more talked about than the actual project. And with that, I agree. I just feel like even then, like, artists should just be like, hey, I'm gonna drop this. If you gonna do once a week, do it like the same day. Don't keep dropping it like, oh, I'm gonna drop Monday.
It's still too, but my dude, like, once a week, like, bro, I would get tired of hearing a nigga once a week, bro. Yeah. That's too much. And bro, feel like, and the good music is going to last forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I pride myself in, like, putting out quality product. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the studio the other day. I had my first verse pretty much down, because I had worked on it the day before. It was down.
Right.
The second verse, I had to come up with in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the material's fire, I think, but the way it got put together, not my best work. I was stumbling, fumbling. You know what I'm saying? I had to restart a couple of times, and you know, and that's because I wasn't prepared. And that's what happens when you force, you know what I'm saying? That's what happens if you like not prepare, like you know what I'm saying? Like, especially with me not writing, it's imperative that I know all my shit. Like I remember, like I had, you know, and so yeah, like even me, although it still came out good, I could tell the difference in the way I recorded it. Yeah. So like, yeah, bro, like, and, but I mean, what can you tell? But like we discussed earlier, it helps that I came from that era where we used to actually write. Like I used to write back in the day. You had your notebook full of rhymes and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it helps, but it's so like I have a better perspective and understanding of the music than versus this kid that just decided he wants to rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just jump in and just where you could just create some shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it didn't used to be like this where you just say anything. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's true. That's true. That's very true. So we got a couple more episodes. I mean, couple more questions before we end the episode. First question is, who's in your top five of all time?
Dialing. From Dave Chappelle, my top five. Nah, but facts, bro. But nah, my dude, I really don't have a top five, bro. Rap changed so much, bro. Like, I don't even have a favorite no more. Like, my favorite's myself. And, like, I'm not even being cocky, bro. Like, I just rap changed so much where, like, even your favorites, our favorites started putting out trash. Like, Wayne used to be my favorite.
Yeah, that's true.
He started putting out trash. So, like, I don't have a top five right now. I do not like, and like, dialing, and Metaphysical. That's the answer.
You the first. Nah, because, yeah, because it's just like, you know, how they say rappers, they retire, but they don't retire. I feel like it's a point where you should just, you know, retire. Like, to me, Wayne, he should retire now and just be remembered for all. He don't have to prove nothing no more, you know, like.
But which Wayne, though? There's two of them. You know that, right?
Yeah, you got the, what's you?
You got Alvin Wayne and you got Mixtape Wayne.
Well, I'm gonna say
Alvin Wayne could retire a long time ago if you ask me.
Yeah.
But Mixtape Wayne, hell, I'll see Mixtape Wayne until he go, because Mixtape Wayne is a whole different, like, and it's really two different.
You know what?
Different beasts when it comes to that.
You know what? You do got a point, because Mixtape Wayne.
Mixtape Wayne is the best ever.
He's the GOAT. Yeah, he's the GOAT.
The GOAT. Thank you. The GOAT. Hands down. Mixtape Wayne is the GOAT. Alvin Wayne,
yeah,
he was good. But yeah. He's not the GOAT.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. Like, if you. Damn, you. Yeah, because if you look at his catalog, he should have stopped at. I want to say Carter 3. He could have stopped
at Carter. No. Carter 4.
Carter 4?
Close, though. Carter 4.
Yeah, Carter 4 was actually straight. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
with the red graduation album cover. Yeah, that was the last. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, at the time, I mean, it's you know, this is why this era so damn tricky, is because at that time, Carter 4 to me, it wasn't trash. It was straight. But then when you listen to it again, especially in this era, you be like, damn, that album was really good. Like it was good. Like the quality was good. But like the first three Carters for me. Classics, you know, the fourth one was just like, I want to say it was like, it could have been his encore, like it could have been like, you know,
like his greatest hit or some shit.
Yeah, and be like, hey, this album right here, I'm gonna retire at four as far as albums. I'm still gonna drop mistakes or whatever. So
yeah,
but what I was about to say, But no, that's different though. Like, I ain't never heard nobody say I ain't got no top five because of the music.
No top five, bro. I don't, bro.
So where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
5 to 10 years from now, super blessed, bro. Like, I know God got a lot coming for me. Like, I know God has his entertainment thing coming for me.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But I'm not, but bro, like, I'm like, no, I'm not about to be rapping forever, bro. Like, I got ideas for an app. I got a couple of game shows.
Mm.
I'm getting ready to start an Alcohol Anonymous meeting where I'm hosting it myself, just telling people my struggle and trying to help people, you know, maybe kick their addiction or whatever. All through God, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I dibble and dabble in cryptocurrencies and stocks. Bro, like, I mean, successful, but I don't want to say successful, bro. Like, everything, everybody say successful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be cliche and say that. Mm-hmm. So the answer to your question, where do I see myself in 5 to 10 years, is more blessed than I am now.
Right. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's my answer on that. More blessed than I am now, my dude.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Do you got any shout outs before we close out the podcast?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to my team. Although it's small, I got a mixtape DJ, and everybody is signed off safe right now, and it's a beautiful thing because people believe in God. Like, I don't ask people to believe in me because I could be lying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but if you believe in God, he will make you a believer through, he'll make you a believer of me.
Right.
But if you believe in me, don't, because I might be lying. So, but my mixtape DJ, DJ Coop,
mm-hmm.
Holding it down out of Kansas, 620. Shout out to him. Shout out to my producer, Highsight the One on social media. That's Highsight, HighsightDaOne. He's my producer. Big shout out to him.
Mm-hmm.
I never met this man in my life, but this is my brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, we FaceTime.
It'd be like that.
Stuff,
be like that.
Bro, like, because he was out, you know what I'm saying? Like, he got a little situation. He had a little situation when he was out here, and so he had to go back, you know what I'm saying? But that's my dude. Shout out to him. That's my producer. Shout out to Switchboard Studios. My sound engineer, mm-hmm. The Real Age, Adrian, shout out to him. And just shout out to everybody, man. This all my people in Denver, of course, Nebraska, and Kansas.
Man, that's what's up, man. Once again, you know, thank you for coming on the show, dog. Like I said, I know you sacrificed a lot of time to come on the show, but, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show. And like I tell all my guests, you know, y'all alumni. So whenever you need something, just let me know. And I'm here.
Thank you. I appreciate you, bro. Like, yeah, man. And, you know, it took a little time for us to link up and connect on the level we connected on tonight. But it's all God, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all in God's time.
Yeah.
And likewise, bro, like, if you ever come to Colorado, bro, holler at me, bro. I'll show you a good time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be down in Florida pretty soon.
What part of Florida?
Actually, like, it. My brother stay in Lauderdale.
Oh, in Broward. Okay. South Florida. Okay.
Yeah. So when I come down there, bro, I hit you up and shit. I'll slide on you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Real niggas do real shit. And so I'm very, you know, I appreciate you reaching out to me. You know what I'm saying? And I don't forget people who help me along the way, and we're supposed to give back, and you know, mm-hmm. as entrepreneurs, people that started from the ground,
right.
We got to believe in, you know, believe in God, believe in yourself, then believe in each other, because we got to help each other. Because these big corporations, they don't give a fuck about us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they don't. They be on that bullshit, but.
Yeah, so. You got to keep pushing. Yeah, sir. So, yeah, if you ever come to Colorado, bro, hit me up, my dude. And, yeah, we'll, and hopefully we can continue this little relationship we got. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. I got your number. I'm going to lock you in. Yeah, man. So, everybody, this been your boy
DJ
Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music the Podcast with my boy Mid Official. Now we out. Peace.
That's Mid. I'm gone.